Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand praise in this place. Let's bless his name on today. Hallelujah. Let's bless his name. For we know that the name of the Lord is a strong power and the righteous virtue and our faith in it. Hallelujah. Let's bless his name in this place. Hallelujah. Let's give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For he is wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We call on El Shaddai. Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this is the day in which you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come into your presence. We don't take it for granted, nor do we take it lightly, but you tell us to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find help in the time of need. Now, Father, I ask that you will allow me to decrease, God, and allow your anointing to increase in me, God, that I may speak a word, God, that will charge the atmosphere around your people, God. I pray, God, that you use me to activate the gift of God on the inside of your people, God, that we will activate them to the next dimension in you, God. We thank you, God, that roll the soles of their feet tread, God. You've given them the land, God. So as you was with Moses, so as you was with Joshua, so shall you be with the people, God. For you're the captain of the Lord host, God. You set your neither for us or our enemies, God, but you're for yourself, God. So we ask that we will get in line with you on today, God. And we will war, God, for the things that are on the inside of us, God. Because we have been unleashed to war, God, in this season of our lives, God. So we war for those things, God, that need to come out, God, that's been a hindrance in our lives, God. We ask, God, that you will begin to speak to those things, God, in our lives, God, that you will declare, God, for us to have victory over, God. We thank you, God, for making us projectiles in the spirit, God, on today, God. So we give you glory, God. We magnify you, God. We exalt you and we lift you up, God. Because you said if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, God. So we draw it back to you, God, in the name of Jesus, and we call it done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for another opportunity to give before his people and speak a word. I don't take this opportunity for granted, nor did I take it lightly that God will choose me to speak a word to his people this season and this time that we're in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. My assignment is to teach on or to talk about activating the prophetic intercessors into their calling. Amen? Amen. I ask that you stand with me as we go to the Word of God. I'll be coming out of the book of Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which were full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were many in the valley open, and lo, they were very dry. Somebody say dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy to these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath, somebody say breath, to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring you up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come forth from the four winds, O breathe unto them breath upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, he commanded me, and the breath came into me, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Somebody say army.
Army.
Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry. Our hope is low. take you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then shall you know that the Lord has spoken it and performed it, said the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. We're talking about activating prophetic people. Whether you call it to be a prophet or you call it to be a prophetic intercessor. Now I'm going to give you a little definition before we get started. Because some of you may not necessarily know what intercession means. Because there's a difference between intercession and praying. Intercession is interposing. You know, a lot of times when I pray, I always pray superimposed, because we have to superimpose the anointing. We have to superimpose the glory of God. We have to superimpose the power of God. But when a person is an intercessor, they're interposing, or they're pleading, or as the woman of God said, they're standing in the gap. And they're actually offering up prayers to God on behalf of somebody else. And they're called a mediator to mediate a dispute that may go on. Because what oftentimes happens is there's a word that may come forth of judgment for a particular situation, a person, a land, or whatever. But as an intercessor, God gives you the prophetic insight to see what's going on. And then he will charge you to lay in the gap on behalf of this particular individual. Because God has put his heart and his mind in an intercessor. And he will give them a word to show them that they can pray that this particular individual will not receive the judgment, because our intercessor can move the heart of God. Because we know God is Lord and he is judge, but he also is love. And a lot of times we forget about the hand of judgment. And God has called his prophets to speak judgment. A lot of times people say, well, I don't want to say nothing to nobody because I don't want to feel like I'm judging them. But if God has called you to be a prophet, you are a judge. Because that's what prophets do. They declare and they release what God is saying. And a lot of times so many people have been muzzled in their gifting as a prophet because they don't want to feel like they're being judgmental towards a person. But if God has given you a word to speak to somebody, you have to release it in the atmosphere, because if you don't, that would maybe a hindrance in that person's life. So God has called a prophet to declare a word and bring judgment. But he has used a prophetic intercessor to pray on behalf of that judgmental word that has been sent against that person. If you don't believe me, remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah got a word from Isaiah that said that he was going to die. And God told him, you need to get your house in order. And so Hezekiah went to the wall and he said, God, if I die now, you're going to let the rocks come out and praise you? He said, no, I can't praise if I'm dead. And so God says, okay, Isaiah, turn back around, go back to Hezekiah and tell him that he has 15 more years added to his life. And so Hezekiah, being a king, God had also called him to be an intercessor because he stood in the gap for himself. So there are some times where God will speak a word of judgment, and that judgment is pronounced on that individual. But as an intercessor, you can move the heart of God because you're interposing, or you pleading on behalf of that person that judgment might not happen. And like the woman of God said, you want to be very careful when God uses you as an intercessor, because there's a quick line or a fine line between a witch and an intercessor. Because if you begin to pray something that God hasn't told you to pray, or you begin to pray what you think should happen, or you begin to pray your will, then now you have stepped out of the line of God, and now you're into witchcraft. Because now you're in your own will, and you're in your own flesh. But God wants us to find out what the will is, and then we pray in accordance to what that will is. Amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to talk to you what a prophet is. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. This is someone that God has used to declare his word. Just as what an intercessor, God has used a prophet to be his mouth and his ears. There are many prophets in the Bible, and in particular today, I want to talk about Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is very dear to me, because when God called me many years ago, the first thing God said, I called you to teach my word the same way I called you to teach math. And anybody know me, they know I'm a mathematician, And, you know, it's just really a gift that God has given me while I understand math. I don't know why that just comes natural to me. And God told me, just as I used you when you were in college, because I used to tutor a lot of people. There's a lot of engineers right now that are out there making money that had it not been for me tutoring them, they wouldn't have that degree. And I say that humbly, but it's really the truth. And so God told me, he said, just as I called you to teach math, I called you to teach my word. And what he meant, because when we were in college, it was a lot of my colleagues that didn't understand the professors. Because we know sometimes professors can be way up here, and you need that mediator, or you need that person that can articulate or hear what that professor is saying and bring it to your level. Well, God had given me that gift with math that I could understand what the professor was saying and then translate it until my colleagues, which I would actually have a little tutorial session every night when I was in college. And so God said, just as I use you in that area of being able to take math and understand, he said the same thing with the word of God. I'm going to give you a revelation, and you're going to be able to impart that word into somebody that might not know or understand what I'm saying. And so when God called me, he said, I called you to teach. Well, as I started walking my walk through the Lord, God began to show me that not only I called you to teach the word of God, but I called you to intercede, and not only to intercede, but to be a prophet. And so when God called me, this was when I was around 28, and he began to deal with me with three people in the Bible. Anybody know me, they know I love Joseph. I'm going to always bring up Joseph because Joseph's my boy. And when the Lord called me, because before Joseph walked into his mantle or went before Pharaoh, he was 30. When you read about it, it says that he was 17 when he put on the coat of many colors. And then when it's time for when Pharaoh had the dream and Joseph was to interpret it and he went before Pharaoh, the Bible said he was 30. The next person was David. David was anointed three times before he became king over all Israel. The first time he was anointed by Samuel in the midst of his brothers and his dad, and then the next time he was anointed by the men of Hebron, and the last time he was anointed, well, the first time was over Judah, and then over all Israel in Hebron, and he was 30. The Bible specifically say that when David became king, he was 30. So it's something significant, 30. Then the next person God dealt with me was Ezekiel. And the Bible talks about Ezekiel was first a priest. And God had called Ezekiel to the priesthood. But God was taking Ezekiel to that next dimension. And that next dimension that God had for Ezekiel was that of a prophet. So when it talks about him, it opens up in the Bible. When you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, it said in the 30th year of Ezekiel's life. So it was something significant when I was turning 28 and turning 29 and about to embark on 30, which I'm not there no more, amen. But when that happened, God said, I've called you to be like Ezekiel. And I just want to give you a little background of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel had a very strange anointing, because Ezekiel was called to leadership. Yeah. And not only was he called to leadership, but he was called to a rebellious house. And how many of us know that in the body of Christ, we have gotten a rebellious, bitter mindset? We no longer want and care about the things of God. We care about, how can I get a house? How can I get a car? How can I get a husband? How can I get a wife? How can I advance in the kingdom of God? We forget about what we're really called to do is to save souls. And not only to save souls, but there are homeless people that need to be clothed and fed. And so we've gotten it all twisted. No, you know, I like nice things, and I want nice things too. But we have to have the kingdom mindset. And so that's what I want to talk about today. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 2. Because I want to talk about, because being activated into your calling, God placed upon my heart the things that he's going to do to you or do through you is that of Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel was the type of person that in his mouth was deliverance. In his mouth was anointing. In his mouth was power. And God used him to speak the things that were seen to be impossible. And those things that were impossible, when he spoke to it, became possible. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee unto the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear it or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet know that there has been a prophet among them. So what God is saying to you, as you're going to be activated on today, there are going to be some people that don't want to hear you. They're not going to want to see you coming. He already told you that they stiff heart. God said in the last days, he said, we're going to have people that's going to be wax cold, and their hearts are going to be hardened to the things of God. He said that men will be lovers of their own selves and leading captive silly women laden with burdens and sins and diverse types of lust. So they're not going to want to hear you come say, close your legs because you've been fornicating too much. Why are you in that man's bed and he got a wife at home? They don't want to hear you say that. They want to hear you say, just lift up holy hands and you're going to be blessed. But God said, they're not going to want to hear you coming, and they're not going to want to see you coming. They're not going to say, oh, here she come again telling me to fold my legs. Here she come again telling me to stop gossiping. Here she come telling me again, you don't need to do that. But God said, it's a rebellious house, but I sent you there. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So what God is saying is that he wants you to eat the roll, meaning he wants you to eat the word of God. He wants you to eat it and put it on the inside of you, because what he wants to do inside of you, you can't do it in your own will or your own self. So you got to read on the word, and you got to feed on the word, meditate on the word day and night. He said, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So God wants you to get to a place where you put the word daily above your necessary food. He says, thy word have I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the way that you get the proceeding word out of the mouth of God is to read the word of God, and eat the scroll, and eat the word, and feed on it day and night. Amen? He said, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So God said, you may think that it's going to be bitter, because you're in a new place, and you're in a new dimension, and you're not used to this. But God said, as you start digesting it and appropriating it, and putting it in your mindset, he said, it's going to become like sweetness. It's going to be that thing that you're not going to want, like Joseph said, I above it above my necessary food. So he said, it's going to come to a place that if you don't have time to read the word, then you're going to go buy a Bible on CD and listen to the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God said, he wants you to get to a place where you're not even listening to gospel music no more. You're just listening to the word, because you're feeding on the word. You're putting a tape in your car about what your pastor preaches, or you're just listening to the word. You go to sleep at night and word just playing. You know, God said, it's time for you to eat the word. Because the only way that you can be activated is to really do what he's called you to do. You got to have the word. Amen? And one of the things God said to Ezekiel, he says that you have to blow the trumpet. Because he called Ezekiel to be a watchman on the wall. And he said in verse 16 of that same chapter 3, he says, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words at my mouth and give them the warning from me. And what he said is that he gave Ezekiel in his hand the opportunity to warn the people. And he said, if you warn them and they hearken not to the word, then I won't require their blood on your hand. But if he said you don't warn them and they fall by the wayside and I told you to say something, he said not only is their blood, your blood is going to be required of you. And so God is saying, because you have heard the word and you know to say the word, he said, if you don't blow the trumpet in Zion, he said their blood is going to be on your hand. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go back to 37. Because as a prophetic person, it's several things that God is giving you. And there's some other people that I want to pull in and talk about, because when you're a prophetic person, God gives you the capability to change the atmosphere.
Right.
The elements have to bow to you, literally. God has given you the capability, because what God told Ezekiel in chapter 37, he said, I want you to prophesy to the four winds. So God is saying, there's something going on in the atmosphere that you have control over, and you have something that God has placed on the inside of you, which is the anointing that the atmosphere has to bow to you. If you don't believe me, ask Joshua. When Joshua was getting ready to fight the king, and he didn't have enough time, he said, I'm going to lose the battle. I need some more sun. And so he pointed up to the sun, and he told the sun, stand still. And the Bible says that the sun stood still, and Joshua being able to have enough light won the battle. So God is saying, just as Ezekiel prophesied to the four winds, I want you to prophesy to those situations in your life. If you need more sunlight, God said, all you got to do is point up and prophesy and say, stand still. If you don't believe me, ask Jesus. When the disciples was on the boat and everything was going crazy, the winds and the waves was moving, and Jesus was just on the boat sleeping, the disciples come to Jesus and say, son of man, rabbi, you don't care that we about to die, we about to perish. What are you doing? How can you sleep? And Jesus first looked at the disciples and said, peace. He said, because why are y'all tripping? Y'all all out here acting crazy. Don't you know who I am? He said, peace. Then he told the winds and the waves, be still. So you have the power over elements, because when he said, be still, those waves and winds were still. Amen. You don't believe what I'm saying? I got another person for you. Elijah. God used Elijah in a great and mighty way. Elijah was calling fire down from heaven. But before Elijah called fire down from heaven, because during that day and time, King Ahab, which was the king of Israel, was married to an old wicked woman named Jezebel. And they actually had power in that day and time over the rain. And so they were able to tell it when to rain and when not to. But God raised up Elijah, a Tishbite, and he said, I called you to prophesy. So Elijah came forth and said, okay, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And it didn't rain for 3 years. And when God was ready for rain to come back, Elijah said, okay, rain. Well, that caused persecution, and it caused different things to go on with him. And so he had to get into a match with the prophets of Baal, because they didn't believe that Jehovah was God. So he said, okay, we're going to go out here and see who God is. God. And the God that answers by fire, he said, that's God. So he said, lay out your stuff, and I'm going to lay out my stuff. But guess what? I'm going to saturate my stuff down with water. But what is water? The word. That God told you to eat on. He said, so I'm going to saturate myself with the word. And he said, and since I'm saturated with the word, I also know that water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He said, but also my God is going to answer by fire. But let me see, because you don't believe me. So he just poured the water and allowed it to be saturated. And he said, now the God that answers by fire is Jehovah. And the next thing we know, his thing burned up and consumed not only the prophets of Baal, but their graven images. And what God is saying is that I'm giving you power over the elements, so you can get outside on your doorpost, and if there's a tornado in your neighborhood, you can point to that tornado and say, be thou removed. Because God said, if you have faith as large as the size of mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to be thou removed. And a lot of times we take that scripture and say, oh, that's literally, I mean, that's not literally, that's just figuratively speaking. But God is saying that if you have the faith that I put inside of you, and if you Ezekiel, and you can speak to those dry seeds and tell those seeds to live, that mountain will begin to move. It will begin to move. You like, do y'all see that mountain swaying? But God said, I'm ready for a people to be activated in their spirit, that they can speak to the elements, they can speak to the winds, they can speak to the waves, and tell those things to cease. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And God said, what has been the problem in your life is that you haven't arrived yet. God said it's time for you to arise, because a lot of times people don't think that they're able or capable of speaking to some elements or speaking to a situation and telling it to be thou removed, because the enemy will begin to put a trick to your mind and begin to tell you that you left them. So what God told me to tell you today is to arise above oppression, to arise above depression, to arise above fear, to arise above doubt, to arise above all those things that's been a hindrance in your life and causing you not to be who he called you to be. Because the enemy has speaking things to your mind to tell him that you left there. But the devil is a lie on today, because God said arise. He said, because you've been in an iron too you can arrive at your destination. God said, thou shalt arise upon Zion and have mercy upon her. For the set time to favor her is now. And God said, the time is now for you. It's your kairos moment now. So you have to arise above all those situations that will cause you not to prophesy as you're commanded. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And one of the things that Ezekiel did that was so powerful is that he obeyed God. And the Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And so we have to get to a place that not only that we eat the roll and eat the word of God, but we got to obey it. Because if we don't, we'll be like Saul. Because Saul did what Saul wanted to do. And when Saul disobeyed God, it caused him to have the kingdom rent. So God said the gift is in the cause of God without repentance. So if he gives it to you, he's not going to take it back. But you can sabotage it because you're disobedient. So God is saying that we have to get back to the place that we will offer ourselves up under the mighty hand, that in due season he would exalt us. But the way we get to the exhortation is humility. Because he said, humble is the way. And so God is saying that we have to get to a place not only of eating the word, not only praying and fasting, but not only eating the word, we have to get to a place where we have to humble ourselves. And the first thing of humility is obedience. Because you recognize that I'm not in control at all. And so when you get to that place, you can be able to speak to those things that are dry. Because one of the things God illuminated in my mind this morning was in verse 12. He says, verse 11, he said, our hope is lost. And God said to me that a lot of the people in this room, you have lost your hope. God has spoke to you to do it. You tried to do it. But some people in leadership muddled your gift. Because there is a controlling spirit in the body of Christ. People try to control your gifts because they think you may get the light before them. But it's not your light anyway. The Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good work, but they're going to glorify God, which is in heaven. So the glory is not for you. But God said there have been so many people that have sat on your gift that caused you not to really go forth and be who God has called you to be. And so it caused you to lose your hope. But God said that on today you will regain that hope. He said, because no longer from this day forth will your mouth be muzzled. No longer from this day forth will your gift be hindered. God said, every Sambala and every Tobiah, Nehemiah, will not conspire against you. He said, that spirit of sabotage that's been following your destiny is no longer there. He said, it has been dissipated. And every devil in hell will no longer rise up against the gift of God has placed on the inside of you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. The other person I want to talk to you about is Samuel. Because God is dealing with a prophetic voice in this last hour. Because God said, first, judgment begins here at the house of God. Well, how do we know judgment comes? We have to have a prophet that tells us where we're wrong. And a lot of times people misuse prophetic gifts. They think a prophet's just supposed to come to you and tell you about money. That's not what a prophet does. We already heard what happened to Isaiah. He had to put the coals on his mouth because he was talking some stuff that he had no business saying. We see God had to make Ezekiel eat the roll, so obviously Ezekiel was saying, thus saith the Lord. Because had he been, God would have made him eat the roll. So we have to get to a place where we are allowing God to perfect those things which concern us. We have to get to a place where God will stir us up. And God has been showing me in this last day, he said, I have too many prophets that have a hostile Phineas spirit. And what do you mean? When you go back to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 12, it says, the sons of Eli were the sons of Baal, and they knew not the Lord. Now, how can these priests know not God? Because when we go to the book of Leviticus, when God anointed Aaron and his four sons to the office of the priest, they had a relationship with God because he brought them into the tabernacle of congregation. And the Bible says they sat there for 7 days because they ate on the ram of consecration, or they ate on it. And God anointed their right ear that they would hear. He anointed their right thumb that they would have a firm grip. And he anointed their right toe that they could have balance. And he said they sat in the tabernacle for 7 days because pretty much this was the way they were going to be the rest of their lives, because God had called them to the office of the priest. So obviously when they were in the tabernacle, they had to commune with God, had to have communication. So they had a relationship. So anybody that God called to the office of the priest had an insight or a relationship with God to where they could hear. But when we hear 1 Samuel, it says that the sons of Eli knew not God. So how do we have two priests working and taking care of the tabernacle, but they don't know the tabernacle? Because the Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus is the tabernacle that dwells among us. He's Emmanuel, God's tabernacle with us. But Hophni and Phinehas were working in the church, but they didn't know the God who they was working for. So when you don't know the God who you're working for, you will sleep with the women in the door of the tabernacle. And you will lie. And so what God is saying is that in this last hour, I'm trying to restore the priesthood. I no longer want prophets just prophesied and living any old kind of way. He said, I want them to be priests first. He said, they have to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. He said, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, but he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. So God said, I'm looking for a Samuel generation. And he said, the way that you're going to have to do in this last hour, don't be so worried about getting a revelation. Don't be so worried about getting a word. God says, become a priest first. Become holy. Become consecrated. Become to a place where you can come into God's presence and say, God, clean me out. Because when you look at the ceremonial law of the Levites, they first went to the what? Labor. And they had to look at themselves. They had to wash themselves. And as they was washing themselves, that was a pool of water. So they had to look at themselves. So God made a priest first look at himself before he even offered them anything. So God said, we have to get to a place where we look at ourselves before we offer up. And so if God brings us to the most holy place, we won't die. Because when the high priest went to the most holy place and God did not accept their offering, you no longer heard the bell ringing that was tied to his garment. But God said, we got to get to a place where we're holy unto him, that we're righteous unto him, and that we will continue to lift up praises to him that will be out of a pure heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And God said, I'm going to pour my spirit upon you. And not only when I pour my spirit upon you, he said, you're going to own the land. So God is saying, when you are activated to do what he called you to do, God said, not only are you going to be activated to do it, but you're going to own everything that you do. He said, well, the soles of your feet tread, he's giving you the land. So God is saying, he's giving you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God said, arise, for your light has come, and the glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former. So what God is saying today, in order for you to be activated, you first have to eat the word. Second, you have to obey the word. Third, you have to get to a place of humility. And God said, once you do all those things, then the elements will bow down to you. You can call fire down from heaven like Elijah did. You can be like Jesus and say, peace be still. You can be like Joshua and tell the sun to stand still. And God is saying that he wants us to get to a place that we're prophetic people, that when we walk in a room, the very atmosphere will change. That when we walk in, people will sense the gift of God that's on the inside of them and inside of us, that they will be stirred up. That it will be an impartation like when Mary and Elizabeth came together, that our wombs will begin to jump because both of the babies in our wombs are leaping. And so God is saying, it's time for you to get to a place where you activate one another, because you need to do what God has called you to do. Because really, God said you're late anyway. You done missed a lot of stuff anyway, because you done had low self-esteem, you done had doubt, you done had fear, you done had lust. God said, but no longer today. You already repented earlier. So God has said, now is at the time for you to be activated. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand on your feet.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's give God glory on today. Let's bless his name. Hallelujah. Let's bless his name. Hallelujah. Because we're activating you into your calling. Whether that calling is the office of a prophet, whether it's the gift of prophecy, whether it's a prophetic intercessor, whether it's to teach the gospel, whether it's just to be the ministries of health, God said you're going to be activated on today. That as you walk out of here, you're going to walk into a new level of dimension in his glory. He said you're going to be able to walk and point up to the sun, and the sun has to obey. Because God said he has raised you up together and has set you in heavenly give you the authority because everything is under your feet. So if you're in heavenly places, then the sun is under your feet. The moon is under your feet. Doubt is under your feet. Fear is under your feet. Lust is under your feet. Oppression is under your feet. Depression is under your feet. Witchcraft is under your feet. Every hex and every vex is under your feet. So God said he's giving you the victory. Now just be charged. Now Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, God, I just lift up these vessels of honor to you, God. I pray, God, that you will activate them like never before, God. Stir them up in their most holy, holy faith, God. Stir them up like never before, God. I pray that you increase them with wisdom and understanding, God. I pray, God, that your knowledge will flow through them, God. I pray that you will make their hands, like put your hands to where their feet is to fight, God. Grant them stability and supernatural might, God. I pray that you make their feet as high as feet, God. Stand them in high places, God. And I pray, God, that you will make them like Jeremiah, God. That they will fix their face like that of a flint, God. That they won't look to the left or look to the right, God. But they will look to you as come of their help, God. For you're the author and the finisher of their faith, God. So stir them up on today, God. Stir them up like never before, God. I pray that you will increase their spiritual insight, God. I pray that they read the word, God. You will give them a revelation like never before, God. I pray, God, that every distraction of the enemy, God, will no longer be distracting them, God. I command it to be disobedient.